Most of the sermons that I've preached in my lifetime have been before very small congregations. And I'm talking about 5 to 10 people. And so when I get in front of a crowd this large, I feel a little bit like Elvis Presley, you know, microphone and everything. I remember a story that a preacher told one time. You'd have to know preachers to appreciate this. He came to services and he had really put in a lot of work in getting his sermon ready. And one guy showed up and it was a farmer. And he was so disappointed because he'd put so much time into his lesson. And he thought, well, you know, I've prepared this lesson. I'm just going to go ahead and preach it. And that guy preached for 1 hour and 20 minutes. And that farmer sat back there and was very patient. And the preacher finally got finished. And he walked back to the foyer to shake the old boy's hand when he walked out. And he said, what do you think of the sermon tonight? And he said, well, it's a good sermon. One of the best I've ever heard, as a matter of fact. But he said, you know, preacher, he said, when I go out and feed my cows and just one shows up, I don't dump the whole truckload on them. So I'm going to try not to dump the whole load on you this evening. I would like to, for us to look this evening about character and a particular point or facet of character that is taught within the Bible, and that is developing a tender heart. And I didn't realize the magnitude of having this particular character within our hearts until after I studied the lesson this week. Everyone is defined by their character. We refer to people as having or being a kind person. We identify people as being a rude person. That person is a jerk. Or we might say, that person is very patient. And so we use that barometer many times in our lives to describe people. And so character is very important. The type of character we possess determines not only how we face our challenges in this life, but also how we relate both to God and our fellow man. Therefore, character is very, very important. It's extremely important. The whole law of God, as a matter of fact, is based on how we relate to God and mankind. Turn over, if you would like to Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. And we can illustrate the meaning of what we're talking about by this divine explanation of our obligation here upon this life, in this life. Jesus often had people who were trying to trap him, trying to nail him to the wall because they didn't like the philosophy of life, what they felt like is demanding. They felt like Jesus was a threat to the political powers at that time. And so they were constantly trying to trap him in questions, theological questions, logical questions, to back him up into a corner where he could not answer it. But Jesus would just turn with his infinite wisdom, and he would totally devastate people. You could not stop Jesus. It would have been great to be back in the world at that time and sit at the feet and watch such a great man as Jesus and how masterfully he handled the people that he was in and around. It said the Pharisees, when they heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, trying him. He said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? He thought he had him. He thought, man, we're going to nail Jesus to the wall this time. There's no way he can get out. But we see the masterful ability of Jesus. And he said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen, on these two commandments, the whole law hangeth and the prophets. So if the whole Old Testament law in a nutshell, hangs on these two obligations, and every law in the Old Testament hangs on those two things. It's talking about our relationship to God and our relationship to man. And it's very logical if you go back and look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, I believe it is. The first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. Do not have any other gods before me. And then you get from the next following six has to do with our relationship to mankind. And there is no reason for us to believe that it's any different in the New Testament. All of our laws that we have, that God has given us, have to do with our obligations to God and to our fellow man. And how we fulfill these obligations in such a way that it would be pleasing to God and beneficial for our neighbor is based upon our character and developing the type of character and spirit that we need to have in our lives. A tender heart is extremely important. It is extremely necessary for us to interact with God properly and interact with man properly. One of the most important characteristics one possesses in order to properly relate to God is that of tenderness or tender-heartedness. We can see how important this characteristic is in the life of one Old Testament king, and that was the King Josiah. During the United Kingdom, you remember how the old prophet Samuel, he was the last prophet or the last judge, and he had rotten kids. None of them were able to take his place, and the people were rejecting him. And he goes to God and he said, God, they've rejected me. And he said, no, Samuel, they have not rejected you. They've rejected me. But he said, you go back and tell those people they can have their king as they want, but you tell them how it's going to be. And Samuel did. You see, having a king was the people's idea. God set up the political system of judges. And so he said, you let them have their king. And so Samuel did. They got their king, and the very first one was Saul. In 1 Samuel 15, we read about that first assignment. God told Saul to go kill King Agag and destroy everyone. Women, children, cattle, and everything. And we know Saul did not do that. He brought back some prize hogs and blue ribbon cattle. Samuel said, have you obeyed God? And he said, no. He said, yes, I've obeyed God. He said, then what is the bleating of the sheep that I hear in my ear, Saul? And he said, because you disobeyed God, then the kingship's going to be taken away from you. And so the same was true all the way through David and Solomon. They dropped the ball. Solomon overtaxed the people. They rebelled on him and caused a divided kingdom to come about, as you would read in church history. And Rehoboam, Solomon's son, he took on the faithful side, which was designated as the kingdom of Judah. And then the old rebel Rehoboam that had been an outcast from Solomon ran off down to Egypt. And when he heard the political pots boiling back up in the promised land, he runs up in front of the Israelites and he said, you people looking for a king? Here I am. I'm paraphrasing now. He said, I'm your king. And so all the way through the Israelite kingdom, every king they had was rotten. They were bad. They were evil. And there were a few good kings in the kingdom of Judah. And so they were characterized because of that goodness as being the faithful kingdom of Judah. In 722 B.C., Israel came to an end. Assyria overtook them, and they just went off into oblivion. And all was left was the kingdom of Judah. There wasn't many kings. Hezekiah was the first king. Then you had Manasseh, Ammon, and then you had Josiah. And all of those kings were bad in the Judah of when Judah just stood by themselves. And it was very dark days during that time. Those were dark days in the kingdom. For 55 years, Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, who was the second king of Judah, had harshly ruled over Judah and reigned of evil. His reign was that of evil and terror, according to 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. These verses tell us that Manasseh did that which was evil in the sight of God. And it seems that most of the kings were easily persuaded at that time to conform to the ways of the heathenistic world and their religions. And God's religion, as you all very well know, has not been very popular throughout history. People do not like God's law. They think it's too strict. But He's not going to put more on us than what we're able to bear. But we think He does. In our finite thinking, we think, well, God, why would He put that law on us? I don't know how we're going to be able to obey that. I don't know how I'm going to get out in the bad situation I'm in. But God says, who are you going to trust me? What you think or what the Bible says? And so these people, Josiah was that type of man. He was faithful to God. Heathen neighbors had so influenced Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, that he adopted polytheism. That means many different gods. And he adopted magic, which was a common practice. We see that today, religiously speaking. Idolatry, etc. As the way of worshiping a god. In 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 6, which is a classic during this time. Talking about Manasseh, and he made his son to pass through the fire. Can you imagine that? He wanted so much to be accepted by the world in his religion that he adopted Molech as his god, the king of the Ammonites. And in order to follow this synthetical man-made god, the first requirement was you go out and take your firstborn son and you burn him to a crisp on the altar. And he did it. The Bible says he did it in 2 Kings 21, verse 6. And not only did he do that, but he also adopted the practice of augury. That's divination. That's looking into the clouds and into people's eyes and listening to the words and chicken bones and everything else, so to speak, to determine the future of a nation or things of that nature, instead of putting their confidence in the prophetical utterances of God. And then it also says there that he used enchantments, witchcraft. He even dealt with necromancy. What's that? You remember the movie Ghost and Miss Goldberg? The practice that she was portraying in that was necromancy, being able to communicate with the dead. This is not something new. And you remember the story in the Bible that talked about the witch of Endor and the prophet of God going and having her to call up Samuel, and she did her rituals and things, and when Samuel came up, it scared her more than anybody else because she knew she couldn't do it. Satan has never had any miraculous power, and he never will. The old scratch wants us to believe that he can do those things, but he cannot do it. Only God is all powerful. He uses deception to make people think that he has miraculous power. Well, these are some of the things that Manasseh adapted. Wizards, wise men. He wrought much evil in the sight of Jehovah to provoke him to anger. So terrible was the murderous ways that it was sad. It was said that the streets of the capital of Jerusalem were awash with the blood from one end to the other of righteous people. He persecuted and killed those righteous people of God and the prophets. And tradition tells us that Isaiah was one of the people that he killed. He was bad. When his grandfather died, and by the way, according to 2 Chronicles 33, 10 through 13, I think Manasseh finally will come back to God at the end of his life. He repented. and gave up those things and tried to get the people back, but the damage had been done. But when his grandfather died, Josiah's father took on the job. But he was so hated, his kingdom, his rule didn't last but 2 years. He was so despised by his servants, they plotted against him to murder him, and he was taken out, and that position was taken away. But after over 50 years of this kind of wickedness that was conducted by all of these kings, or most of them, Josiah was crowned a king at 8 years old. Now, I suppose that maybe, I'm just speculating here, that the priest kind of took over and those kingly responsibilities until Josiah was at an accountable age or where he began to reason, he was very smart. And so at that time, he probably began, he had a good heart. The Bible says he had a tender heart. You see how important it is to choose what type of heart we want in this world? It's our choice. We turn to Luke chapter 8, and it talks about four seeds and four types of soils. Now, those are not predestined soils. We choose what type of soil we want. God doesn't predestine us to have any kind of heart. We can be hard-hearted like old Pharaoh, who chose to be hard-hearted and refused to let God's people go. Or we can choose to have that tender heart like Josiah. In 2 Kings 22, verses 2 through 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he began reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adadiah. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not to the right nor to the left. You know what a great epitaph to have that etched on your gravestone. Something of that nature. Or be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Someday, what a greater epitaph could we appeal to than to have that memorialized and etched in stone with our marker. That's what I would hope for, but I know that I have failed God many times in my life. And I would almost feel hypocritical to even have something like that put on my grave. But I would like to think that I had that type of life and assurance. I'm striving forward to that. But Josiah, he went throughout the land and destroyed the altars of all the false gods, Baal and Asherah. He restored the Passover feast. He tried to bring the people back to God, and a major event in Josiah's life occurred when he was 26 years old. He'd ordered that the temple be cleansed and repaired, and during the work, the high priest there, and some of the scribes, they found the book of the law that had been hidden away for years, probably dust had built upon it, the law of God, the law of Moses. And it was brought to Josiah and read to the king in 2 Kings 22, verses 10 through 11. Josiah tore his clothes in grief on hearing of the sins of the people, and he wept before God. And God's answer was this, which I believe is a key verse to our entire lesson. But unto the kings of Judah, who sent you to inquire of Jehovah, thus shall you say to them, thus say Jehovah, the God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, Josiah. And thou didst humble thyself before Jehovah when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse. Thou hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith Jehovah. Therefore, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king the word again. Josiah was a man who had a tender heart. And that's the reason the nation received the blessing. Do you think a tender heart is important according to the biblical teachings of God's Word? In the Bible, the heart does not refer to the organ of the chest, the physical organ. The Greek word is cardia. It's where we get our medical term cardiac. But it never refers to the physical organ that I know of. It always talks and has reference to that seat of emotions, that place where we make choices, that place where we know the difference between right and wrong. The heart refers to the very core or center of a person's being. The heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic, real person, the heart of a person, the characteristic of a person. And it is this part of our being where we desire and deliberate and decide and where our conscience is at. I know people like Josiah, do you? I believe my grandmother had a tender heart. Do you know someone like that? Hearts that are touched by the aches and the sorrows of other people. I mean truly touched. They cry themselves when they see people that are hurting. That are people that are lost in this world. A nation that is adopting sin every day and becoming more sinful and sometimes away from God. I am not an alarmist. And I don't want us to say that everybody is evil. There's always been a remnant of good people in this world. There was a remnant in these people that God was talking about. And God did not punish those people. But the world has not changed. But the whole point of the lesson is, what changes is the world is our character. Designed and cultivated after God's own heart. He's the potter, we are the clay. And He takes our hearts if it is tender and pliable. And He can mold it into whatever He wants to. But we have to choose to let God do that. And Josiah was that man. The greatest king, the Bible says, there was none before him like him. Nor will there be one like him after he leaves this world. He was a great man. I want you to look in very briefly in the next 5 minutes of what a tender heart is. Number one, according to the Bible, a tender heart is one who listens. We listen to God and we listen to our fellow man. A hard heart will not listen to God. Exodus, Pharaoh, time and time again when Moses, God told him, out in the wilderness, he told him, he said, go down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And what was it Pharaoh did? He refused. Why? Because he was the one that hardened his own heart. He hardened his heart. He would not listen. And so, therefore, the plagues were brought up not only upon him, but his entire, all of those subject to him. A tender heart trembles at the very feet of God's Word. And when we open the pages of God's book, we should listen. Psalm 119, verses 161. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing. That's obedient hearing. That's not just going through one ear and out the other. A tender heart listens to others. Recent reports that I read in a DOC, Department of Corrections, periodical talking about teenagers, our juvenile systems. The number one thing that they said, we just wish someone would have listened to our hurts and problems that we had, and give us some direction. The invariable answer was, what I needed most was someone to listen to me and give me a little direction. Someone who cared enough, and had that tender heart to listen to me. Our God listens to us. Listen to what the Bible says. In Psalm 5, verse 2, He hearkens unto the voice of my cry. Psalm 6, verse 8, He hears the voice of my weeping. The Lord will hear thee in the days of your trouble. Psalm 20, verse 1. We could go on and on and on how God listens to us when we really have problems. Does Jesus care? Yes, He cares. But He wants us to come to Him. And He wants us to pour out our hearts sometimes when we're going through the dark valleys of the shadow of death. And every one of us will be there someday. And we're going to have time when we think that no one else in the world is going to be there. But we know that God will be there. And we will be singing that song, Take My Hand, Precious Lord, Lead Me Home. We should imitate God. Ephesians 5:1 says that we are to be imitators of God. We should be swift to hear. Most of us are swift to speak. We need to learn to keep our mouth shut sometimes. And listen, God says, because we are not God. But we need to put our minds and think about what we're going to say and not be like me and say the wrong thing so many times, you know. We need to learn to listen to people. I was snapping at my wife one time here not too long ago. Now, I know you can't believe that. She was snapping at me. We've been married too long, you know. We kind of get rough on each other sometimes. We love each other very much. We can do that. I was trying to choke down my food. I had too many things going and pressing and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. And, you know, sometimes kids, if we're not careful, we'll let them irritate us with the things that are important to them. And before long, everybody else was kind of adapting my hurry-up lifestyle, and I'd become unbearable. And I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of one of our grandchildren. She wanted to tell me about something that happened at school that day, and she began very hurriedly. She said, Papa, I want to tell you something about happened at school today. Suddenly realizing her frustration, I said, Sweetheart, I said, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me fast. And I said, just say it slowly. And I'll never forget her answer. She said, then Papa, listen to me slowly. You know, listen to me slowly. We need to take time to listen. You know, there's nothing in this world. We get our priorities all messed up. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, it sets the guiding principle of priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. People are what's that's important in this life. And hanging together, as old Johnny Ramsey used to say, we all got to hang together or we're going to hang separate. We must depend upon each other as God's children. A tender heart is one that weeps. A tender heart is one that's very humble. Secondly, a proud heart cannot be tender. A tender heart is humble towards God. A proud heart is a heart that is hardened like Pharaoh's, and it can't be tender. We haven't allowed God to take that heart and mold it and shape it. A tender heart is humble. And we say, well, how are we going to make our hearts humble? It took me a long time in studying, and I still don't know that I fathom it totally, but how am I going to be humble sometimes in my arrogance? Well, I think the mistake that a lot of us make, I know the mistake I make, is sometimes when I get to feeling bad, I want to compare myself with another human being. And I think it's hard to find someone that I'm better than in some things. And I'll look at that person and I say, man, I'm better than he is or she is. I kind of throw my shoulders back, and it kind of makes me a little powerful, prideful. But nowhere does God say that I'm to compare myself with another human being. But I am to compare myself with Jesus. I can always find someone in this life that I feel like that I'm better than. Someone maybe I might know a little bit more or might be able to handle situations, be a little tougher in some things. But I'm no better than Christ. He was sinless. And God said, focus your eyes upon Christ, and that will keep you humble. Now think about that. You think about that. We will never in this lifetime, nor in the next probably, measure up to the sinless state of Jesus. And that should keep us humble in this life. I think, thirdly, it's a heart that weeps. A tender heart weeps for the sins committed against God. Josiah wept because of the sins of his people. 2 Kings 22:19. Tender hearts mourn over their sins and they turn from them. They will see and feel the ugliness of sin. And as we see time and time again, all through the Scriptures, that repentance requires feeling sorry, not sorry we got caught, but sorry that we sinned and violated God's Word. And we are to weep. You'll see that weeping is connected with true repentance. And mourning, that's what repentance is. It's ugly what we do in this life. I think fourthly, a tender heart is a heart that helps other people, according to what the Bible teaches. The hard-hearted upholds or withholds help from those who truly need it in this life. God's people were told, and all the way back in Deuteronomy 5, verse 7, to not withhold helping other people in this life. Replace the selfish, the hard heart, with tender, helping hearts. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, hereby I know we love because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath had the world's goods, and beholdeth his brother in need, and shutteth up the compassion from him, how doeth the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. You know, words are cheap. God says, if you love me, what? You will do something. You will keep my commandments. Loving, true compassion is showing it, not just feeling it. I think a fifth thing, if we want a tender heart, we must forgive others. Now I know that God is not going to ask us to do something that He will not do, but we are still to love our enemies. That doesn't mean if we can't forgive some things, if we can't go back, we can't forgive an unrepented sin, if God doesn't forgive it. But we can relate to that person in a very loving, kind way. This is one of the most difficult things that we are faced with in our divorce situation. I can understand it. Some of the things that people go through is just unbelievable. And we sit there and think, how can I tell that person to forgive something like that? To an unrepentant, forgiving attitude. It's difficult, but God says, you love that person anyway. Love your enemies. And I don't know how some people do it. But I do know that that's what God does. And I pray that God will give us all strength to have a tender heart. It takes a tender heart to do that. And then finally, I believe that we must have a heart that repents. Romans 2:3-6. The hard heart refuses to repent, yet the tender hearted will repent of sin. We are to weep, but we are to also change. You know, just weeping by itself and just crying over what we've done is not going to do it. God says if you want to repent, you've got to change. You can weep all you want to, but you get up and change after the weeping. You change your life. So I ask you this evening, do you want to have a tender heart? Do you really want to have a tender heart? Let's be like Josiah, the greatest king of all Israel. And it's because he had a tender heart. Are you subject to the invitation this evening? Do you have a tender heart right now? And you need to turn back to God. Do you need to believe and repent and confess and be baptized? Very simple. Like, God didn't ask us to do something great. No more. Just like he didn't ask Naaman to do anything great. And sometimes we may feel like it's below our dignity. Maybe you have so sinned. Maybe you have prayers or something like that. Whatever your need is that the church can help you with to make your life stronger, your commitment to God stronger, to develop a tender heart. And you feel like public acknowledgement, public help will help you to do that. By all means, come forward while we stand and sing.